Hello and welcome, everyone. My name is Matthew Spencer, and I'd like to thank you for listening into our weekly message at Christ Church International. We are a gathering of believers living for the dream of Jesus, souls from every nation, one at a time. We love Jesus, we love the Bible, and we love people. Since 1981, we have been sharing the good news of Jesus, and now we're thrilled to be at our new location in downtown Longmont, Colorado, at 527 Main Street. Our key verse for this year is 1 Chronicles 11:9. David's stride became longer, his embrace larger, yes, God of the angel armies was with him. Also, the Lord prophetically spoke to us the first Sunday of the year, saying, "Listen to me, yield to me, take my hand and walk with me, and 2016 will be the year of greater achievements." And now, here is today's message. Praise the Lord. So I'd like to just kind of say a few things. Our church is called Christ Church International, but our ministry is called Inner Court Ministries. And the Inner Court is where the priests went to minister to the Lord. We're reading through the Bible this year. And so I believe that there's a reason why God has given us that. And I think we should not forget that ministry to the Lord. But I also think, and I believe, that the Lord wants to release his glory into the earth at certain places throughout the world. And last week, I was releasing the word that I believe God wants us to be an epicenter for his glory. Could we be an epicenter for the glory of God? And I think that God wants to do that. I think that we're an end-time ministry God has put on the earth to demonstrate his glory here in downtown Longmont. I believe that that's what God's going to do. Yes. Praise the Lord. I believe that's what the Lord's going to do. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would reveal yourself, that you demonstrate yourself strong here. I pray that the glory would manifest. Praise the Lord. You know, Hebrews 1, it says that Jesus is the glory of God. You know, as Christians, we talk about the Shekinah glory, and they talk about the cloud, but the cloud wasn't the glory. The glory comes in a cloud.
That's right. Yeah.
So people talk about the Shekinah glory, and I was like, that's not the glory. The glory is in the cloud because God has to be covered. Praise the Lord. And, you know, it'd be great if we just continue to talk about revival, continue to talk about what the Lord can do and wants to do. He wants to heal people. He wants to heal you guys. He wants to free your finances. He wants to deliver you. And we're going to see that continually. Praise the Lord. We've had a word that the prodigals are going to come home. And it's happening. Praise the Lord. And you know what? We're going to get prodigals that aren't our prodigals. They're going to come home. Thank you, Jesus. That's good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So we're having a Holy Ghost Sunday here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I was talking to my dad and my mom, and I was telling them about Nepal when I was in Nepal, and I was praying for people to receive the Holy Spirit. And I don't think I shared this with you guys, but the Holy Spirit, when we pray for people to receive the Holy Spirit, it's as literal as we're dumping oil all over you. Yes. And I was praying in India. It was actually in India, in the Nepali area of India. And there was a Sunday where I just felt led to pray for them to receive the Holy Spirit. And I started praying for, you know, the deacon, and I was like, wow, didn't really feel much there. But it was okay, because you do it in faith. And then I came down to the congregation, and I started praying, and it was so electric. I started just putting my hands on their head, and it was like as if I was putting oil on their head, like physically. That's how real it was. And there was 15, 20, 25 people that received the Holy Spirit, and the power of God was there. And if the power of God is over there, it's here too.
That's right.
You know, Jesus, he came and he said, "The Lord has anointed me."
That's right.
Let's go there real quick. Isaiah 61. Praise the Lord. I experienced the grace of God tremendously overseas. And I was thinking, if the grace of God is overseas, how much stronger must it be here for me to live my life? And Jesus, he stood up in the temple and he read from the book of Isaiah. And actually, there's a picture right back there of what Jesus did. He stood up and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. The good tidings to the poor is you don't have to be poor anymore. If you're poor here today, you don't have to be poor anymore. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prisons to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So I declare today, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. It's a power and authority from a different world. That's what's happened. That's what's here. The fivefold gifts, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, we are empowered from a different realm. The power of God comes upon us to minister deliverance to those who are bound. And guys, it's time that you are free. It's time that you're free. Praise the Lord. The Lord wants to free you today. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, I want to share a few things with you. I want to share a few things. Last week you were talking about when Jesus walks in the room. When Jesus walks in the room. And guess what? We are filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus is with you. Let's look at John 7 real quick. John 7:38. It says, Jesus said, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Jesus said, "If you believe in me, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water." I was in prayer the other day, and I asked the Holy Spirit, "Would you like speak to me?" And so, funny thing, when you're quiet and you ask the Lord to speak to you, He'll speak to you. And so, I started to see a picture, and it was in my mind, but it was led by the Holy Spirit. I know sometimes we can imagine things. We have to distinguish between, am I imagining this, or is the Lord giving it to me? Yeah. But the first thing I saw was large pipes running down a hill, really large pipes. And then I saw like a spigot, you know, like on a faucet that you turn the water on and off with. And then I saw the pipes going down the hill and really being the source of a river, creating this river. And then in this river, I saw people floating down the river on inner tubes. But then we looked closer, and I saw people swimming under the water. And I was thinking, well, the Lord is showing me what this means. And I was thinking, this is symbolic of the river of life. This is symbolic of the river of life. And so many Christians, they're flowing on top, and they're splashing in it. And they're just like, woo-hoo-hoo, this is fun. And they're just touching it. They're just like, hey, this is good. This is fun. And they're content to float down the river. You're in the river, which is great. But they're just content to just touch the supernatural just a little bit here and there, but not swim in it. And I was thinking, the people who are swimming in the river, who are submersed in it, they're healed. They're delivered. They're freed because it's a living river. It's a living river. Thank you, Lord. So, and what the Lord showed me from this was that I was like, what is the spigot? What is the pipe? And I was thinking, I am the pipe. Because the river comes out of me, because Jesus said, if you believe in him, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. Yeah. Right? The rivers will flow out of my heart. And what is the spigot, or what is the faucet? It's your tongue. Yeah. It's your tongue. So you have to open your tongue and begin to pray in the Holy Spirit, and that river begins to flow. And the exciting thing that I saw from this was that once the river is beyond the pipe, you can't control it. You can't direct it. It's gone. It's flowing. I mean, you can stop praying, but once you've prayed, it's released. Yeah. And it only takes one person. He said, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Out of my heart will flow rivers of living water as I begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. begin to pray in the Holy Spirit, and it comes out. It goes beyond your control, and it brings life and health and strength to people. So now I want to come to something that happened last week. I was talking to Julie after church, and I believe she was speaking something prophetic. I was talking about the epicenter here, and I feel like that's a word that God has given me, is epicenter, such a powerful word. That has lots of, man, ramifications. If an epicenter, you guys, you know, earthquakes, there's a point of origin where it just emanates from. What happens if God would create this place to be an epicenter of his glory? Like Azusa Street, they didn't need a large building. They didn't need a 2,000-member church. They just needed the presence of God. Praise the Lord. So we have come to the place where we need the glory of God. I see that. There's been the movement. Who was it that prophesied there was going to be a revival of the Word, revival of the Spirit?
Wigglesworth.
He said there was going to be a revival of the Word of God, a revival of the Spirit. And so we saw in 19, was it 12, in that area, the Azusa Street happened. And it spread all across the globe from the Welsh Revival, and then the Azusa Street, and several other places, and the charismatic renewal that happened in the 70s. You guys think the devil's doing crazy stuff? God does things at the same time, and the devil's trying to do things. So you think of like the love revolution of the 60s and 70s. Well, God was doing something. If you were involved in that, God was doing something. That's where my parents' generation experienced the power of God. They experienced the presence of God. And it's time for my generation to experience the power of God. Praise the Lord. Yeah, it's time for my generation to experience it, and younger to... It's in my heart. Some of us are sitting here in church, and you have never experienced the power of God. Well, go ahead and raise your hand. Who has not experienced the power of God? Some people are lying, I think. No, seriously. Who hasn't experienced the power of God? You're honest. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. Well, Lord, I just right now, I thank you for manifesting yourself in power to those who have not experienced you. Lord Jesus, manifest yourself. Lord, you love us, Lord. Manifest yourself, Lord. Demonstrate yourself. You're a living God. Walk in this room. Heal the sick. Deliver the broken. Manifest yourself in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. You know what? There was the revival of the Word has been happening, I would say, for many years now. And I don't know if this is prophetic or what, but there are so many teachers in the church, which is awesome. There, if you watch TV, there's many, I'm sure, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers throughout. But what is it? It's a movement of teaching. But the world needs apostles. The world needs prophets. The world needs evangelists that will be sent, that will shake the nations. That's what we need. So I feel that the Lord has done the revival of the Word. We have to have the Word, because otherwise we're a bunch of spiritual wackos. You guys know what I'm talking about. I don't like that. I don't want to be a spiritual wacko. We have to be grounded in the truth of the Word of God. And so we've been teaching, and we've been learning about the Word. And we've been learning about faith. But I think somehow in our charismatic circles, in our faith circles, we have forgotten the God of miracles. Because we're so focused on living and believing that we forget that God is actually going to do miracles. He's going to do miracles. You're welcome, Holy Spirit. We should be expecting miracles. We should be living in miracles. And that's what we're coming to, that place where we're going to start walking in miracles again. Praise the Lord. And it's not just going to be the pastors. It's going to be everyone in church. You know, the kids in the Azusa Street Revival, somebody walk in with a massive growth on their head. Everybody goes to them and just begins to pray, and the Lord just completely destroys that thing. Praise the Lord. That's where we're going, guys. Praise the Lord. So back to what I was talking with Julie, and she began to pray, and she was seeing a river flowing and carrying sinners into this church. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But it didn't. What happened is, as sinners began to come into the church, the river was sweeping them in. And then they were sweeping them out, but it wasn't leaving them sinners. They were transformed by the power of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, and they went out. And they went and won the lost, and then the river came back in the church. And just a flow of the Holy Spirit, in and out, in and out, in and out. Praise the Lord. People should not walk in this door without having an encounter with Christ. As they come in, they are changed completely, and then they flow out, and they share their faith. That's what Christianity is a lifestyle of sharing the gospel, in and out, in and out. Praise the Lord. So that just tied in with the epicenter. So I believe that's a word today, is the Lord wants to begin to flow the river. And the vision I had is we have to release that. We have to begin to release the river of living waters. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Sherry, come on up.
Thank you. Well, yesterday I was praying and I walk on the bike path and I was praying about the church and I saw the water rising. It was rising in here. It was rising. And then I walked in this morning and the water crashed through those windows.
Wow.
It was really powerful.
Thank you, Lord. When was this?
This morning. This morning the water crashed. But yesterday the water was rising, rising, rising.
Thank you, Jesus. Wow. And I praise the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I haven't talked to Julie since Sunday, so praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I believe a couple things today. That I think there's a prophetic action that I feel like we're going to do today. And some of you, if you want to participate, you can. If you don't, you don't have to. I'm not going to make you. And also, second thing is I feel like those of you who like think we're crazy because we speak in other tongues, it's real. It's a real experience. Basically, what you have to do is you have to be hungry for more of God. And I don't know anybody who would not want to experience more of the Lord. The Holy Spirit, the amazing thing about him, the contrast between him and Satan, is Satan will possess people. He'll force his way into your life. The Holy Spirit has to be invited. He's not going to force things. The devil's looking for opportunities, constantly looking for opportunities to somehow find his way into your life. Back doors, front doors, however, you know, attacks. But the Holy Spirit has to be invited. Thank you, Lord. Well, I want to share a few things because I feel like before we do that, I want people to be on the same page. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So Jesus said, if you believe in me, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. How many of you guys need rivers of living water? I need the rivers of living water. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, he stood up and said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. We have to come to Jesus. He's the source of life. Jesus is the living one. The Bible says, well, Jesus declared, I was dead, but now I am alive forevermore. Forever. You can't kill Jesus again. He's alive.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All right. Yeah, I want to get everybody on the same page. You might think, what is speaking in tongues from God? Well, one of the main chapters we go to is 1 Corinthians 14. And there's many things that are said here. Paul said, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesy. It's 1 Corinthians 14, 5. He desires that every believer speak in other tongues. What happens is when we're speaking in other tongues, 1 Corinthians 14, 2, you're speaking to God. You're not understanding what you're praying, but you're speaking mysteries. And you're praying to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14, 4 says you edify yourself. As we pray in other tongues, we edify yourself. If you guys don't feel very edified, you can edify yourself by praying in other tongues. If you're struggling with sin, you begin to pray in other tongues. It's like you're taking a bath on the inside. You're washing, the Holy Spirit's washing you on the inside. It says in verse 13, your spirit prays, but your understanding is unfruitful. So your spirit man is praying. It's like you're working out on the inside. But it's so good. We're not just supposed to pray and not understand. We're supposed to desire and pray that we would interpret what we're saying. So we begin to pray things out in the spirit. This is the life of a Christian. If there's a problem in your life, you need to pray it out in the Holy Ghost.
Yes, yes.
Most Christians, they just make decisions and they haven't prayed it through. And it's hard. It might take you 6 months to pray through something, but it's so worth it. My friends, it is so worth it to pray something through to the point where the Lord works it in your life and you're not trying to force things to happen. It's so worth it to not, you know, have an Ishmael, but to wait for your Isaac. We have to pray in the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8:26, it says, "But the Spirit himself intercedes for us." So when we're praying in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit prays a prayer that we don't know how to pray. We don't know what's the perfect will of God. Sometimes when we're praying, you just need to shut up and pray in the Holy Spirit. Because what comes out of your heart is unbelief and fear and doubt and no faith, and you won't get your answers. Praise the Lord. Luke 3:16. Let's go there real quick. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just getting through this quickly because I want everybody to be on the same page as what we're going to do here in the next minute. Luke 3:16. Well, let me have a disclaimer. Not a disclaimer. Everybody's going to jump up and down during the Super Bowl.
That's true.
So, okay. If you can be excited for a secular event, you can get excited about the living God.
Hallelujah.
All right. So, Luke 3:16. John answers, John the Baptist, saying to all, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal straps I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Jesus is the one who baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. In chapter 24, verse 49, Jesus says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." He's talking about the Holy Spirit. "But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." There's another translation I like. It says, "clothed with power." This is a great example. I'm clothed with power here because I did not give myself the title of vice president. Brother Jerry did, an international evangelist, prophet to the nation. He gave me this. This is his jacket. But the cool thing is, this my jacket.
That's right.
Because he gave it to me. So I could say, I'm just wearing Brother Jerry's jacket. No, this is my jacket. I'm a member of Chariots of Light. And I'm the vice president of this club ministry of the state of Colorado. But this is his jacket, his authority delegated to me. And so this is what happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Suddenly you have your Jesus jacket on. And it gives you certain authorities, responsibilities, and privileges. Praise the Lord. That's what happens when a believer receives the Holy Spirit, is he has power that he did not have before, authority he did not have before. Praise the Lord. Now let's go to Acts chapter 2. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a real person.
Yes, he is.
Thank you, Lord. So what happened on the day of Pentecost is they waited for the Holy Spirit. It says in Acts chapter 2, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." This is Bible, isn't it? This is Bible. I'm not making this up. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speaking in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born?" They were speaking in tongues, and they multiple languages. Many languages were heard and understood. It says in verse 11, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongue the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others mock, saying, "They are full of new wine." Don't mock today. Don't let that be you. Praise the Lord. And then Peter stood up, raised his voice, and said to the men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, "Let this be known to you, and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Thank you, Jesus. Well, if that's, I'll just give you an opportunity now. If that's you and you say, "Lord, I'm not right with God," it says if you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved. So let's not go any further before you do that. So the scripture tells us that everyone has sinned. It says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. It says that if we call upon the name of the Lord, we'll be saved. So let's pray this right now. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. I believe that he rose again. I believe he's alive. I make him the Lord of my life. And I ask that he would baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Acts 19:6. Acts 19:6. Paul came to some believers, and he said to them in verse 2, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." They're like, "I don't even know what this is. And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied." Thank you, Jesus. So when we receive the Holy Spirit, sometimes it is necessary that someone who has the Holy Spirit lay hands on those who have not received the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. So there's a couple things, thank you, Lord, that I want to do. And I think it's good that the kids participate, because some of them might want to receive the Holy Spirit. And the Bible doesn't say you have to be this tall to receive the Holy Spirit, or you have to be 17 and 3/4 old to receive the Holy Spirit. No, it says that the Lord would pour out his Spirit on all flesh. On all flesh. Kids, adults, old, young. Male, female, whatever language or nation or nationality or skin color you are, the Holy Spirit has been promised to be poured out on all flesh. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So I saw this prophetic action. And I want to do this today. The river is here. And the river is in your heart. If you have believe on Jesus, let's go back to that. It says, Jesus said, if you're thirsty, praise the Lord. Let's go there real quick. John 7:37-38. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, there's one more thing I need to read. Thank you, Jesus. You know, the same Spirit is here. The same Holy Spirit is here who manifests himself to those two different places I was in Nepal. There was a girl, she couldn't stop laughing. And I was like, what is wrong with that girl? But it was the Holy Spirit. And she just laughed and laughed, and they had to carry her out of the bamboo church hut. And she just kept laughing. And I was like, what is going on? Well, the Holy Spirit is poured out on flesh. It's like if you put your fingers in an electrical outlet, some things are going to happen. Different people are going to move in different ways. Right? And so it happens. That's what happens. Thank you, Jesus. So I wanted to read one thing. Praise the Lord. I think we bought a lie that we have to live our lives with blind faith. I think that's a lie to the church, to the faith movement. We are supposed to witness to what we have seen and heard. We're supposed to say, Jesus did this. Jesus healed. That's how they get saved and healed, or in Nepal and India and in Asia. I have a brother. I was ministering with him throughout for the whole month, well, a couple weeks, and his brother was healed of a disease and his family came to Christ. We are supposed to declare what we have seen and heard. We're not supposed to just sit in church and hope somehow that we're going to experience the living God before we die. We are supposed to witness what we have seen and heard. Praise the Lord. If you've experienced it, then you get wild and crazy eyes like me. Praise the Lord. Because the Lord is alive. He's real. Thank you, Lord. He's real. He wants you to believe in him because he is alive and doing things in your life. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Luke. Some people say, oh no, if I ask the Holy Spirit, I'll be possessed by a demon. No, not at all. Jesus said, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be open. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will be given him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he be given a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You know, receiving the Holy Spirit is the easiest thing you could do because the Lord wants to give it to you. He wants to give the Holy Spirit to you. It's the easiest thing we can do. We just have to ask in faith. A simple childlike faith. Holy Spirit, you know, Lord Jesus, baptize me in the Holy Spirit. And the Father will give us a good gift. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. So I want to tie this in to the river. And I really feel like the Lord wants to stir the river up today from this place. Praise the Lord. So though for those of you who are Spirit-filled, who have received the Holy Spirit, what I see is I see us like walking around the chairs in like a circle this way and just beginning to pray in the Holy Spirit. And it's a river of living water. And what Julie was seeing and prophesying in that prayer is that water is going to flood out of these doors. It's going to flood out of the doors and it's going to sweep people who need Jesus into this place. It's going to sweep people in. And once it's out, you can't control it. It's alive. It's alive. And it's flooding. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so, and also for those of you who today you're like, wow, I hear this is real. I want to receive the Holy Spirit. Well, I would like you to come up and we'll pray for you to receive the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. So believer, who've received the Holy Spirit, I'm not going to make anyone do this at all. If this is something you feel like you want to do, you can participate in. We're going to just do this for the next few minutes as the Holy Spirit leads, and we're going to begin to pray in the Holy Spirit as we begin to just release this word. The river, it's got to stir up here before it gets out there. Right? You guys, you have something. The power of the Holy Spirit is in you. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let's begin to just pray in the Holy Spirit. and walk. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Kishabada makasisi. Kishabada makasisi. Kishabada makasisi. Thank you for listening to Christ Church International's weekly message. We declare that the things that God said He would do, now He is doing it. If you are ever in the Longmont area, we would love for you to join us for our Sunday gathering. We meet every Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. in the heart of Longmont's Creative District in downtown. The address is 527 Main Street. That's near the intersection of 6th Avenue and Highway 287, which is Main Street in downtown Longmont. Are you on Facebook? Connect with us. Our page is facebook.com/ Christ Church International. Our website is www.christchurchinternational.org. Our email is contact@innercourt.com. And our mailing address is P.O. Box 2125, Longmont, Colorado 80502. Thanks for listening, and we hope to hear from you soon.